Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Today is March 31st, the year 2023, Ramadan 9. 1444. We thank Allah for this blessed month of Ramadan. You have tuned in to the Salat al-Jumma for the Nur of Allah Islamic Center. For the first 25 minutes or so, we will play Surah 25 of the Quran, Surah 18 of the Quran, titled El-Kahf of the Cave in English. We are following in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet. He asked that we read Surah 18 on Fridays. In about 25 minutes at 2 o'clock, 5 minutes to, we had the first call to prayer, and began the prayer, the kubbah at 2 o'clock, inshallah. Today's khatib is Brother Mustafa Abdullah, and this title is going to be Strengthening Our Minds. Right now, we will play chapter 18 of the Quran. Thank you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave, and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward,
ماكثين فيه أبدا,
wherein they will abide forever,
وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا,
and to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son,
ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم, كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight.
فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا.
Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years.
ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا.
And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set, go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner, we disclose them to the people of the city, that they might know that the promise of Allah is true, and that, as for the hour, there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, "Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them." Those who won their point said, "We verily shall build a place of worship over them."
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say, "They were three, their dog the fourth," and some say, "Five, their dog the sixth," guessing at random, and some say, "Seven, and their dog the eighth." Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, "Lo, I shall do that tomorrow," except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest, and say, "It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this." And it is said, they tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا.
Say, Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is he, and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside him, and he maketh none to share in his government.
واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change his words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking his countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, "It is the truth from the Lord of you all. Then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces, calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place."
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
واضرب لهم مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grapes, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men. And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou enteredst thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There's no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside. Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah, the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward and better in respect of hope.
ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills and ye see the earth emerging and we gather them together so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا.
And remember, when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them.
وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا.
And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape then.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
and naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِضُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا وَإِنْ تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright.
وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا.
Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape.
وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا.
And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا.
And when Moses said unto his servant, I will not give up until I...
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha Ashhadu an la ilaha أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
La ilaha illallah. We will begin the clip bar in about 3 minutes, so stay tuned. This is the Neurolog Islamic Center, Indianapolis, Indiana. The critique today is Brother Mustafa Abdullah, speaking on strengthening our minds. This program will be recorded for your convenience and listening for later. And we thank Allah for this blessed month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, the month that we look forward to, the month of benefits. Also, today is the ninth day of Ramadan. Do you remember how many prayers on the ninth day of Ramadan? 9-9. And when you pass, it was September 9th. 9-9. Is it something you get 9-9? No. You can't plan that, can you? You can't plan that. You get 9-9 on both colors. Yeah. Yeah. We discussed at this point a little bit on the. So, but most of it's up to you whenever you want to get started. I'm going to put the phone over here on the podium with you. So, let me get
something. Hey, cool. Oh, Ramadan Mubarak. peace and blessings be upon his family, his companions, the Sahabas, upon all of us. It's my name, Prophet Muhammad. We thank Allah for this blessed day of Ramadan. This is a mercy from Allah. He set aside a whole month for the believers, the 9th month, to be born. We're taught that the baby is born in the 9th month. This is a normal pregnancy. You know, it can be difficult sometimes for the woman. But Allah set aside the 9th month for the child to be born and for the month of Ramadan, for us to be reborn, right? So we thank Allah for that. Alhamdulillah. Today our topic is strengthening the mind. I share with you, my brothers and sisters, that Allah is truly merciful to the believer. Strengthening the mind. I'll share some Quran with you. Reading from Surah 17, Al-Isra, Ayah 78 through 82. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah tells us to establish regular prayer at the sun's decline, to the darkness of the night, and the morning prayer, and reading for the prayer, and reading for the prayer, and reading in the morning, carry their testimony. Read that one more time. Allah tells us in the Quran to establish regular prayer at the sun's decline, to the darkness of the night, and the morning prayer and reading, and the morning prayer and reading, for the prayer and the reading in the morning carry their testimony. So testimony. You talking about spending the mind. Allah is merciful. It's Ramadan. The best time to spend the mind. When we're playing sports, to get strength, to be able to go out there and push up against the bigger guy, we had to go lift weight physically, right? But the topic today is strengthening the mind. It's Ramadan, brothers and sisters. It says, and I'm going to come back to that, 78, and pray in the small watches of the morning. It will be an additional prayer or spiritual profit for you. Soon will your Lord raise you to a station of praise and glory. It says, say, O my Lord, let my entry be by the gate of truth, and honor, and likewise my exit by the gate of truth and honor, and grant me from your presence. This is what we have to listen to, brothers and sisters. When we make and pray, you see it throughout the Quran. Sometimes we ask Allah for things, but the Quran be specific in certain part when you ask Allah to grant us something from his own presence, like we stand right before Allah. Don't send it to you, brother Yahya, brother Khalil, but from your own presence. That's powerful. And grant me from your own presence and authority to aid me. And say, truth has now arrived, and falsehood perish. For falsehood, by its nature, bound to perish. We send down stage by stage in the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy. A healing and a mercy. To those who believe, to the unjust, it caused nothing but loss after loss. Sadaqallahu Azim. Blessed month of Ramadan. Spending the mind. You could hear it in the brothers and sisters' voice. This community knew Allah. During Ramadan, we get together and we read the Quran. We take time reading sections of the juice. And read the whole juice every morning. The whole juice. Brother Khalil, you can hear it. Y'all hear how they be reading. you think they some poets or something. They be so into it. Sometimes the sister and brother go past they part and we be out to stop them. You gotta say, subhanAllah, you don't be wanting to do it. But they be feeling so good. They're strengthening their mind. And they doing it with the community. Huh? Brother, they don't be wanting to get out the phone, Brother Khalil. 9:30 sometimes, Brother Emmanuel, 10 o'clock, we still be on the phone. Because after we finish the reading, we have Talim. For those that want to stay, they don't have to go to work. Allah tells us here, establish regular prayer, get up, next to that. You know, the believers will be on the phone at 7 o'clock. Some be on 6:55 because they want to read first. You know what I'm saying? Because, Brother Khalil, if you don't get up that early and read first or second or third, you might not get a chance to read the one time. Oh, man, I ain't get a chance to read the one time. Because you'd be so excited to be working out, exercising with the community. You talking about strengthening the mind. It says, resetting it again, because it touched my heart when I was looking for a topic last week. I was studying some other things, but you always ask Allah for guidance. And I was reading in one of my study books, the commentary, and the Imam was talking about strengthening the mind. I said, it got to be in the Quran somewhere. Establish regular prayer at the sun's decline to the darkness of the night. In the morning prayer and reading for the prayer and reading in the morning. Reading in the morning, carry their testimony. You're going to see it. Ain't nobody got to show it to you. And you ain't got strength to go to work, and Allah give you that strength. You ain't working, Brother Bilal. Allah got them angels working in you. So, brother, you ought to be passed out. You ought to be tired by now. But I got up. I made Salah. I read Quran with the community. That's a bigger blessing when you're reading with the community, right? We strengthen our mind. Allah give us mercy. He said, get up in the early part of the morning, right? Go to sleep. Get up and make the Tahajjud prayer, right? It's a blessing. Isha prayer. We make the Tawil prayer and the Witr prayer. Those are blessings. Strengthening your mind. The Imam teaches us that the best thing to strengthen your mind is the Al-Quran. Al-Quran. Read it. Read it. The book to be read and read again. That's what the Quran means. To be read and read again. The best way to strengthen our mind is do what Allah asks us to do. And he's a mercy to us in Ramadan because he allows us to make these sunnah prayers, Tawil prayer during Ramadan, Witr prayer. You should make a Witr prayer with the community during Ramadan. But if it's not Ramadan, you should make Witr by yourself, right? Tahajjud. Imam shared with us months ago, we was talking about the manna and the quarter. The people of Moses was fed with manna and quarter, right? And Imam did a beautiful talim on this. You probably have to go back and look it up. Let's put that topic in, manna and quarter. You have to get up early in the morning to get that manna, brother. It's like the dew on the grass. That little dew on the grass early in the morning. That's a lie. That's a lie. I won't say speaking to you, but inspiring you. That's what I'm looking for. Before your mind gets directed into the three murders that happened last night. The lady got robbed on the other side of town. You get up. You zip her. And you hit that flow, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu Akbar. Allah give me another chance to do it all over again. I ain't worried about yesterday. Don't make all these salahs today. One might be late, but I'm going to spend myself with, right? Before you be influenced by what's on the news, before you turn that TV or radio on, make salah, make zikr, and strain your mind. Allah love us, brothers and sisters. Allah love us. Allah love us. We could be in a lot of bad places, but we are Jummah, strengthening our mind, looking to go forth to share what we learned today with others, to strengthen their mind. If we, as believers, continue to serve Allah with humility and sincerity, our mind will continue to grow and get stronger. It's no coincidence that those main prophets and messengers in the Quran, they received a revelation at night, setting Abraham for maybe a couple of weeks now. I shared with the Imam, I said, I think Imam Muhammad studied the prophet Abraham a whole lot. Because when you study him, he told me, yeah, yeah. I said, because when you study the prophet Abraham, he followed it all the way out. He rationalized with it, struggled with it, think on it, ponder on it. And we know the best thing to think on is what? Allah. Dhikr to Allah. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Dhikr to Allah. And those things that we won't understand this from, Allah give it to you. Allah give it to you. He told me in the Quran that Abraham was just not a prophet and a messenger, but he was a friend of Allah. Huh? He said Allah took Abraham and showed him the laws of things, the sun, the moon. You know, Abraham had been seeing the stars and the moon and sun. Since he was a little boy, he'd been looking at the stars, the moon, and the sun. So all of a sudden, he just looked up at the stars and said, no. He studied these things. He studied them, pondered on them. He was thinking on them. And because he was so dedicated to know Allah, Allah strengthened his mind. And when he got to the point where Allah wanted him, Allah showed him the laws of the sun, the moon, and the stars, how they operate and what gives them their law, right? So that's what we have to do. We have to follow things out to its rational conclusion, till it makes sense. Bounce it off somebody. Sometimes you'll get a call from me, and I'll bounce something off you. It makes me feel good. Make me want to drop down and do two rakats. See? And you have to call somebody and share that with somebody. You remember Muhammad said, when you're sleeping at night, Brother Bilal, and Allah wakes you up with a good thought, have a pad or a pencil on the side of the bed. Write that down. Write that down. You remember Muhammad told us that then? He said, write that down. That's that manner that the people of Moses were fed with. They said, well, manna is for it, right? If you eat the manna, that inspiration from Allah in the morning, get up and make a difference, makes a lot. And when Allah inspired, we're just going to write it down. That's that manna. Then you fly high like that quarter, like that bird. You see what I'm saying? We have to do what we have to do to strengthen our mind. The Quran do that for us. Read it. I shared it before. Read it like it's a love letter every day. You got the strong man, he got to go lift weights every day. You don't have to lift no 1,000 pounds every day. You can lift one ayat every day. Lift 2 ayats every day. That's the way they teach us and train. Say, come here, 5 push-ups today. Tomorrow I do 10. Allah said he make it easy for us to recite and remember, right? He make it run easy for you to recite and remember. That's a mercy, brothers and sisters. I just, for those of y'all that's not calling in the morning, you can come on with us, try it tomorrow morning. Try it tomorrow morning. And when I see you next week, inshallah, at Jummah, you'll say, thank you, brother. I've been needing that. And reading the Quran, you can read it by yourself, but when you're reading with the community, you can get excited. The sisters don't even want to get out to go to work. They be holding on to the last minute because they want to get their next reading in. If they turn covered up, okay. So we have to share in that, brothers and sisters. We'll give you the number after Juma to call in and read with us in the morning. Because the purpose is to strengthen our mind during Ramadan. So after Ramadan, when we go back out into that mean world, we strong, brother. We can't be turned around. We can live up till we can't be stopped now. We get it out. Come on, world. Come on. Why? Because for the whole 30 days, you've been lifting weights. You've been lifting weights. I share with the guys I work with all the time. Oh, you big old man. I knocked you out. I know. Because you got them big old muscles and flexing and your shirt about to bust off. But strength is in the mind. You don't know the 10,000. You don't see 10,000 angels back here. You don't see 10,000 angels. They don't see them, brother. I know what I got. Allah promised me the victory in everything. I don't lose in nothing. I don't lose in nothing. Why? Because I spend my mind with the Quran. I believe in it. I said it before. I'm like Bilal ibn Rabah. Radiallahu anhu. Allah be pleased with Bilal. Put my head in the chopping block if you want me to go against Al-Islam. If you want me to go against, put my head in the chopping block. I believe in this. I can testify to it. I can testify to it. And when you can testify, when you can say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and know it, so I said, believe. I know. I have a testimony. My family have a testimony. My wife have a testimony. We know when people have said, ain't nothing else we can do for you, brother, sister. Three people told my wife, ain't nothing else we can do for you, sister. 2008, we lost a good brother. Imam Sadiq's son, 2008. A week before my wife's operation. A week before. Same operation. Three doctors say nothing they can do. He cried. I cried. I'm more scared than she was. Then the girl said she was 17. I was 19. Long time. But we went to the fourth doctor. I said, baby, come on. You going to go a step further. They don't know who we know. When we met Dr. Michael House in the University Hospital downtown, he said, if you was over 40, I wouldn't do it. He said, but you got two little babies here, 3 and 5. He said, I'm going to try, but I can't promise you nothing, right? Because we believed in Allah. We knew Allah. See, we got a testimony. 80% of my wife lived for 9 hours. Sit back in the back of the room that night, brother. I said, testimony. Ain't nobody got to tell me about Allah, tell me they believe in Allah. I know Allah. In 11 days of full-grown living, and we go get in the truck and drive home, and don't have to go back. You would tell me ain't no Allah. Strengthen our mind is our topic. Indulge yourself, bury yourself in Al-Quran. Study this book. It's a testimony, right? We believe in this. We put our faith and trust in this. Allah is a healing for us. Allah is a protector for us, the only protector we have, right? The only protector we have. These revelations came to our prophets and messengers during the nighttime. Brothers and sisters, we got to get up. I know you're tired. Don't miss out on the blessing because you're tired. My stepfather, he would work all night at the college security guard. He come in here on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Get in the shower, and go to church all day long. I said, Pops, I had to ask him, well, Pops, where did you get the strength to do that for you, son? If I can go out there and work that white man's job for 16 hours, I can go serve God. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me, Brother Khalil, because it made sense. You ain't too tired to go to work. You say it. Every morning you get up, you say, I'm so tired. I sure don't want to go to this job. But then when it's time to go to Juma, or it's time to go to an event at the masjid or something to do at the masjid, you use that excuse sometimes. You're losing out, brothers and sisters. If something's going on at the masjid, we should be here. We're spending our mind, not only by ourselves, but together. We have to support what's going on at the masjid in our community. If you don't come here, find somewhere to get with the believers. I guarantee you're going to learn something. You're going to hear something you hadn't heard in a long time. So turn your mind back on to go study that. Go restudy it and study it again. It's going past the time. But Allah's in charge. It's a beautiful day. It's Ramadan. You can't eat till the sun go down, no way. You might as well get fooled right here with me. Press your arms and get strong, brothers and sisters. Because we're going to get there. We're going to get there. And I ain't talking about no old saying. I'm talking about the new saying. Allah promises us that we're going to get the victory. You got to do the work. You got to do the work. Ain't no fun if the team wins and you didn't play. And I know some of us play sports. You know, some of us play sports. And the team won the championship. And you ain't get in the game. You're too clean. I can testify to that. I played baseball. I couldn't hit the ball. My team won, but my suit was clean. My suit was clean. They were hanging me on the way home, Brother Bilal. That boy ain't played at all. The white pants clean. That's a lot. Praise be to Allah. I got hip to him. I go run in the dirt and get my baseball pants dirty. So when I'm walking home, the big boys went hanging me, talking about I hadn't played in the game. But I was playing on one of the best little league teams in the city, this little town I'm from, Mississippi. The guy was so much better than me, I didn't get a chance to play, but they won. They won all the time. I played with YCC, but I had the cleanest uniform on the field, bro. I didn't get in, right? They won, but I wanted to be part of the victory. I wanted to get in the game, right? So what I'm saying, believers, get in the game. Somebody support what we have. We got something mighty here. And you ain't got to come in living 1,000 pounds. 1 ayat at a time. That's all it takes. Learn what? That's Allah. Allah said learn 1 alphabet. Alphabet is the word. 1 word is a sentence, right? 1 sentence becomes a paragraph, right? So all you got to do is come learn the alphabet. I've been teaching on the job, the little boy, giving them the alphabet, learn this. Brother, I'm trying to spend my mind. I'm trying to get to heaven. Do you hear me? I ain't just talking about in the Akira, I'm talking about now. I want to be happy right now. I still remember, you know, Muhammad said, I'm in hell. You better talk. You're in Chicago. He said he was happy. He was in heaven. Why? Because he could see. He was a witness to what the Quran could do for us, what the Quran could carry us. Sitting among some of them people we think so important. Why? Because we Muslim. Because we Muslim. So I hope and I pray that what I'm sharing with you about spending your mind during Ramadan, that it captures you to want to study more, to want to support the community more, to come out and be amongst the believers more. So we ask Allah for forgiveness and mercy. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban. Our Lord, grant us good in this life and grant us good in the life to come and protect us from the torments of the hell. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We are talking part of the Kutbah. Once again, to the believers, Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. Yes, sir, Ramadan Mubarak. Allah teaches us in the Quran that when we give a greeting, give a light greeting, the light greeting or a better greeting. And Ramadan Mubarak is high up there. Don't think it's nothing. Blessed Ramadan. Huh? Allah has been blessed. Always in the blessing mode. It's good to serve king, a master, a ruler that loves you. That loves you. I like to share the reading with you, if I may. I'll be pleased. Imam teaches us in his commentary. He said, read the Quran more. Learn it. Commit small chapters to memory. During Ramadan, we should try to learn a new surah. If you can't learn a new surah, learn two or three ayats of the surah and build on that. Right? Lifting the weight. In the mind. He said, commit small chapters to memory. Read it and commit more chapters to memory. Read the book over and over again. Do not just read it in the month of Ramadan. Read it weekly, daily, right? If you can, so that you can memorize more of the book and become better acquainted with it. You would say, much of it, I do not understand. That is okay. Much of what you soak in from the TV, you don't understand, right? But you soak it in anyway because you like it, because you like the TV. You soak it in anyway. A lot of we don't understand. The Quran is better and safer. That 30 minutes, 15 minutes, let's tell the truth. 4 hours we sitting in front of the TV, I don't care if you, the 4 hours we sat in front of the TV, then the other 3 hours the TV watching us, right? The Quran is better and safer. Feel guilty. So I'm going to turn this TV off, I'm going to get the Quran and read some Quran. I'm telling you that because I want you to feel that. When you sit in front of that TV, worrying about how many people died last night, who got shot, how many robbers they had, because that's all they're telling you. If you're watching them TV shows, they so out there right now, you can't even stand to watch the TV show. It hurts my heart to watch the TV show, and I got to watch same sex kissing the same sex. That's the best way I can say it right now. The same sex kissing the same sex. The man and the woman, they kissing the man and the man kissing. It hurts your heart, right? So we have to read the Quran. It's better for us. It is pure and perfect for you. Soak it in because you like it. You do not have to understand it. And this is what the Imam was saying. I heard him say something similar to this. The medicine we take, right? You take medicine. Your head hurt or your leg hurt. You don't have to tell that medicine where to go. They know where to go, right? So if you recite Quran, you don't understand it, Allah going to bring that understanding to you, right? Even if you don't want to recite Quran, turn it on your telephone or on your YouTube app. Turn it on and listen to it. You say, well, I don't understand the Arabic. That's okay. You don't understand the medicine. You don't even know what they put in it. They told you to heal you. You ain't even studied that. You know, doctor. But they said this will heal you, brother. This will take the fluids around your heart. Give me that. You said, doctor, give it to me. So it take the blood pressure down. Honest to God, true. I said, well, I'm taking these pills. I ain't got high blood pressure. See, it slow your heart rate down. I had a high heart rate. Then somebody said, I take them for my blood pressure. I said, well, they said, they slow my heart rate down. But I took them. So this is the same way, brother, when we recite Quran, read Quran. Read it, read it, read it, read it, the healing gonna come. You'll be sitting there to take them when his headache gonna go away. You took them pills, pick up when the headache gonna go away. That's the way I understand Allah says you give it to us stage by stage, right? Stage by stage. The understanding of what you reading gonna come. The light gonna come on. Every year we read the Quran, you say, I ain't see that last year. And we'll be on the phone in the morning and tell email. Wearing his brain out. But he's there consistently. Never say, I'm tired, brother. I can't answer that question. You see? Get up in the morning with us believers. Exercise your mind. Right? And the best thing to exercise our mind on is La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. In zikr to Allah. Zikr to Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Okay? So, much more I want to share, but I want you to exercise your mind. Go get this green book commentary email, Muhammad. Get your Quran. What I was reading is the second part of the goodbye is out of the commentary email, W.D. Muhammad. Exercise your mind with the Quran. And if you're looking for understanding, you can find his commentary in the commentary to give you a better explanation of what you read in the Quran than what we think we know. If not, seek it somewhere else. But seek it. Seek it. Get an understanding of what you read. Then share it with somebody. Don't just get it and hold it. Right? It's a sin if we get it and we keep it to ourselves. We have to teach this, brothers and sisters. We got to fill this masjid up. Huh? Allah said, if you don't do what he asked you to do, he'll create a new people inside of you. And you got to destroy us, put no new people here. We look up, we won't have nowhere to sit. We'd be standing out there in the parking lot trying to get in here. Right? If all of us spend our mind and invite people to Al-Islam. Invite people to Al-Islam. Start off by saying, God love you. God loves you. And then sometimes you have to even say, brother, you know, I've been telling you God loves you. But it kind of hurts my heart sometimes when I say God loves you. I really want to say Allah. Explain to them. See, that's doubt. Explain to them. Well, that kind of hurts a little bit. I don't want to offend nobody, but I'd rather say Allah. And explain to them why we use the hyphen. You know, Muhammad said the capital G hyphen, the capital D. They give you a chance to do dawah with them. Now you got their mind. But you told them something they ain't heard, but they don't understand. And don't be like I was when I first came into Islam. I try to pile it all on. Just give them a little bit, brothers and sisters, and invite them to Al-Islam. Help us. You think you're helping them, but you're helping yourself, right? When we think we're helping somebody else, believer, we're helping ourselves. We're trying to get to that promised land. As-salamu alaykum, my brothers and sisters. Start coming to the left. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah.
We want to thank Brother Mustafa
Abdullah, excellent kubra, strengthen your mind in the month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not showing anything here. Do the black. Okay. Yeah. So if we make our fingers here, make sure we have made our announcements that we need to make. I'm not sure if there are any guest talks coming up here soon or not. I'm going to sister, one sister herself come up here again because she may not be ready. But you know, we had one last Sunday. It was good. I mean, it was really good. So the number for the morning reading, I'm going to put the number on the board. You want to put it on the board? Yeah, we're both. Because some of you listening, about the system. The phone number is beginning at 7 a.m. It'll be pretty much 7 a.m. sharp. The phone number is 701-802-5454. Then that's the access code, 1039-654-pound. Please hit the pound button. Again, the number is 701-802-5454, and the access code is 1039-654-POUND. Okay. It's at 7 a.m. now. You do not have to read. Somebody come on and just listen. Somebody driving in their car going to work, and they'll be on their car phone. You know, so that you can, it is very beautiful to do it as a group. And then afterwards, for those who can stay, we have a Q&A session with Pauline. So we got some, I think it said, no video or sound now. Huh. It is recorded, so for those who love video and sound for a while, technology is on your side. You can go back and check it out, inshallah. Are there any more announcements? 1039-654-POUND. Yes. And people could be calling in from Chicago, Texas, Mississippi. Oh, yeah, and you're not the student. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Sunday, is that brother? We're doing this talk here Sunday. You see the full feet by the brothers? Uh-oh. No, because then the sister got to do one. He do one. Huh? Yeah, I don't care. Good. Okay. Sunday. Iftar, be here at 8 o'clock, right? Mindful of Quran, coming for the air. Okay, 8 o'clock Sunday. Also, blog talk Sunday at 1 o'clock. Should be a good topic, inshallah. It will be live, inshallah. Is the weekend school Sunday calling? Is Sister Carol, is she here? I don't know if Sister Carol is here or not. I think it is weekend school Sunday. That's what 10:30. So weekend school, Talim and morning reading is the Quran. This Sunday is Tar. It was something else too. I can't think of what it was. So if you're coming to me, let me send you a text or email. Okay. Be sure to get Muslim Journal. Just take two or three, pass them out. I'm going to tell you how to do Muslim Journal. So I'd like you to read this paper, and particularly page 15, when I see you again, we'll talk about it. Because you know Muhammad's words is on page 15. So everybody get two or three journals they already paid for, and you can
if they pay you something for it, you can give them the charity or whatever, but they can just take the papers and have them repay 15, along with the whole paper, but make sure they pay 15. Okay. Any more announcements? Oh, yeah. That's what it was. I kept it to me. You know, whenever you forget something, this is the novel we're looking at it. You say, oh, I forgot what I was thinking about. All what it is that your horse got out the gate and you got out the barn. He's running on the track. You'll stay right where you're at, and he'll come back to you. It may be a quarter mile track, it may be a 2 mile track, but just hold on, and he'll come back to you. So, if I forget again, my pledge for this month, I'm going to be here every day during Ramadan. Okay? And I haven't missed yet. I've been here every day during Ramadan. And you go in that front room, you see me and Brother Matt, they're doing good work in that front room. And you're not done yet. Inshallah, the room will be ready to be used soon, very soon. All right. Sunday, 8 o'clock. Now, Lucifer, you can come back up here. Because you said that was going to do it. What are we going to do? Not sure.
Fish and chicken. Y'all said the brother's going to do it. The brother's going to supply the food. If you got a special dish, fix it. We get some chicken and fish, and y'all bring some side dishes, and we have a grand time, halal of a time, halal of a time.
All right. Let me do this thing for the people here who are listening.
Book the Quran was revealed, given to him, is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, God's messenger, God's servant, and his messenger. He is our example for good behavior and for good character and for productive work that Allah created every human being for. Hence God says, any Muhammad is a model, is an excellent model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. This is what God says to us in our holy book, the Quran. So Muhammad is not just a model for Muslims, he's a model for human beings, for all people, a model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. And Allah, God says of him again, so that we'll know he's for all people. God says, Muhammad is a mercy to all mankind. Rahmatan lil-nas wa rahmatan lil-alameen. A mercy to all the worlds. This is Muhammad. So we cannot make this religion small. It's not small. Maulana Maududi, perhaps the most popular of the recent reformers, scholars who reform, who bring Muslims back from deviations, who bring Muslims back from a dull life to have enthusiasm and drive, reformer. Maulana Maududi said on Mount Arafat some years back, I happened to be there myself, long time ago, must have been 40 years ago, and Maulana Maududi learned that the son of Elijah Muhammad was making the Hajj and was on Mount Arafat at the time. So he told his people to go to the son of Elijah Muhammad and tell him I invite him to come to my tent. I did. I came to his tent. Pakistanis always have big numbers in the house. I came to his tent, and when I walked up to him, he greeted me and asked me to sit near him. I sat near him. And then he began to speak to those who were in his tent. There were many. And he said, Islam is a religion or an ideology for the reformation or the reform of the whole world. And that means Islam is a universal message. It's for all people. It's for all lands, all nations, all people. And if we understand the Christianity, it is the same. It is a message to all people of the world.
Amen.
And the Jewish scripture, though it's not propagated like Christians and Muslims propagate our religion, our faith, but Judaism also is a religion, a guidance from God to all people, not just Jews, to all people. And it was Judaism that was extended to the world of the Europeans and others, to the whole world, by Jewish leaders, and as a result, there's a new mission and the New Testament. So we can't separate these groups. We speak of them as Abrahamic faiths. We all identify Adam as our first father in the human nature, and we identify Abraham, called Ibrahim in our holy book, Abraham as the second father. And these three faiths identify Father Abraham and Father Adam. Actually, if we understand it, Father Adam extends as a creation. He extends into Abraham on another plane, and a second father comes out of him. Second father comes out of Adam. Out of the essence of Adam comes a second father. And that's understandable if we understand Jesus in Christian teachings being the second Adam. A second Adam. We may differ somewhat with the number where it's placed, but Jesus is second in the ascension, or the ascent of the human soul, ascending upward to gain more and all of its life that God wants for it. So it is life expanding, life rising up. As God says, and he has created us as a plant. A plant is first a little seed like a dead thing under the soil or under the earth, and it comes out and it grows upward until it reaches its fullness or its maturity or its fullness as a life, completeness as a life. And God says in the parable of human life, is the parable of a plant, or that of a plant, meaning it starts from nothing. You can't hardly see it. It's a bird in the earth. Our children, they start in our mother's bodies, and the bodies of their mothers, and we don't even know they're there until she tells us, and we don't see it for 9 months or until it reaches the stage when it's wants to get out of that small confine and get into this big world of ours. Then we see it, and it kind of turns over just before it comes out. is sitting up, and then it turns over, pushes his head down and comes right out. Puts his head down and comes right out. It says, unless you become as little babes, so that means we have to stop standing up so straight and so rigid. And we have to humble ourselves to the fullest extent before our Maker, the Lord Creator of everything. That's what religion is all about. It is about being complete in your recognition of God. If you recognize Him, then be complete in that recognition. Don't put your small time thing before your duty to God. Yes, our religion says in the Holy Book, in our Holy Book, save yourselves and your families from fire. This fire is the fire of human passions. Script writers called poets, they have since time began, I guess, for writers, they have always referred to human passions as fire. And our singers in our recent time, they sang songs of that fire. And they call love a flame, a strong passion, a strong appetite. We have to save ourselves from the fires. Now, isn't it something how man can become scientific and know all about human nature? He knows the science of blood, bones, the heart, everything, the eyes, the science of sexuality, and a fine woman can make him nothing but a dog. It doesn't have to be a fine woman in everybody's eyes, just a fine woman in his eyes. Take him down to the dog. So that tells you that we need something bigger than man to save us. Especially in these times when life is all about styling. We need something bigger in our lives, bigger than styling. Many of us don't know we're styling. Now, I used to wear an FOI suit. And believe me, when I put it on, I just felt different. I felt like my manhood woke up in me or something. You know? I felt like I had authority I didn't have before. And I was styling. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that I quote him now, my job is not so much to teach you religion, but to put you in a dress, a decent dress. See, God came to dress us up. Yes, that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And really, if you understand dress, when you are born from mama, no clothes have been put on you. The doctor got you, or the nurse took you, or you delivered, and there's the baby naked. You say the baby is naked. Why do we wear clothing? We wear clothing because we are naked in our own minds. The horse come here dressed up for cold weather, whatever. But we don't. We don't come here dressed up. We come here naked in our minds. But now just look again. What are the clothing for? What is clothes for? Clothing is a protection. Clothing protects me from bad weather. Clothing protects me from exposure, from exposing myself to everybody. So it's a private thing. It helps me preserve my privacy. And I want to look good in my clothing. So you buy nice clothing, you should. You want to look good in your clothing. But what we have to understand is that the first clothing is the clothing of human life. Human life. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. No wonder the question was asked to Adam in Genesis of the Bible. Who told you you were naked? And in our Quran is reference to the same situation where God says, and it was the shaitan, the devil, the first deceiver, and the worst of all deceivers. It was that one that seduced you and your mate to come out of the original clothing that God put you in. And says, and that was the clothing of righteousness. The clothing of righteousness. So what is that saying? Righteousness is not something a preacher has to give you, preaching the Bible. Righteousness is something that you were created with. You were created to be righteous. Righteous. Righteousness is your nature. It's an inherent quality that we are born with. The need and the drive to be correct, truthful, clean, decent, trustworthy, righteous, righteousness, sincere. Yes, that's all in the baby, in the nature of the baby, the baby's nature. When the baby is born, he's born already with all of that. There was a time in the history of criminology in the United States that I read, as a student studying for this job I got, when criminology in the United States had taken a backward move and was believing, just it didn't last long, believing that if they would sterilize, kill the nature to reproduce in the criminal, kill it by sterilizing them, that they would save society from criminals that would be born from criminals. They soon established that that was incorrect, was false. And they said that criminology cannot come from a parent to a child. So it's learned. It's not inborn. It's not born with the baby. It's learned from the world. Learned in the world. Now, many of us perhaps are not living to go to heaven, but you should be. And let me tell you something. You've already been in heaven. When you were in your mother, you were in heaven. And when you came before the world, tarnished you, or left its bad influences on you, you were in heaven. And whether you believe it or not, it took me all these years, but I'm in heaven. I was in heaven as a baby before the world influenced my thinking and my nature, and I'm in heaven again because I found the way back to heaven. And when you hear God says, and to him you must return. He only means return to the person that he created. Return means, like you say, I wish my child would come back. You're talking about one who left the church, or one who left the mosque, the temple, or whatever. And it hurts you that they're gone, and they're leaving that lifestyle that you love them in make you feel as though you lost them. You say, I just pray God all the time that my child will come back to me. So you mean come back to that life that made him pleasant in your eyes and made you so that you didn't have to worry so much about his well-being. Yes, you want him to return to that. So we have to get rid of a lot of mystery. Mystery wastes time. This world is too fast, going too fast, for us to be held up with mysteries. Heaven, where is heaven? We know where heaven is when we understand what the meaning of heaven is. We think of the heavens and the sky. We look up, the sky. What does that mean? Heaven is more advanced than all that I see around here. Heaven is elevated, high. Elevated high. Heaven is established high. High in the sense of meaning, substance, and also quality. Quality. So if you can accept this for me on this day in the city that I was born in, some of you all want to take away my birthright. Your mama's from Chicago. He lives in Chicago. That's his home. I thought the place where a child was born is also his home. And he should never lose that home. Yes. Yes. So, yes, I was born in Detroit, and Detroit is my home. And my father was redeemed in Detroit. And became a new person, a new man, and did wonderful things and earned the title Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes. And I'm just continuing his good works. He said his main job is to put us in a dress. And he said a decent dress. Now that you have heard me comment on what is the real meaning of dress, he means put you in a decent lifestyle. Put you in an honorable, decent lifestyle. Now, some tricks of psychology concerning dress might begin for us with the sisters wearing the dress that I see a few wearing right now, the headpiece and the dress, white long dress covering her whole body except her face. But for the brothers, it began with shine your shoes. Do not come to the temple with shoes that are not shine. And if we smell you while we're searching you, and you know we're going to be up close to you to search you, and you know you're not going to get into the meeting without being searched, if we smell you, we might send you home and tell you to take a bath. And put a crease in those pants. Respect yourself. And respect this house that you're coming to. Wear your decent clothes. Now, we thought that was all about black nationalism, Nation of Islam style. But no, when you read the Quran, God says, and wear your beautiful apparel at every place and time of prayer or masjid. That's what he says in the Quran. So that's also the requirement in Islam before Mr. Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ask us to clean up ourselves and wear our beautiful dress when we come to prayer or when we come to the temple for service or for worship. What I'm saying to you is that we had a lot of help from Mr. Farad and from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we had a lot of help to get where we are today. A lot of help in more ways than you know. A lot of help to your leader now that you say is your leader, W.D. Muhammad. I call him my imam too, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We had a lot of help to get him where he is now, and to bring him along a path of progression and progress to come into the Quran, not as an import from Saudi Arabia or from Egypt or Pakistan or somewhere, but as a natural growth in the soil of the United States of America, made suitable for that growth by W.D. Farrar and Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us in a new dress. There was a student at the time, he was doing his dissertation for his PhD. His name is Asian Udum. He was African. Long time ago, this was before Malcolm got popular. And he asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, for my dissertation that I'm writing for a PhD, can I interview some of the ministers and some of the regular followers? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him permission. He interviewed me, he interviewed other ministers, he interviewed Minister James Shabazz. Before he passed, we called him Sheikh James Shabazz. He interviewed him, he interviewed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he interviewed a lot. And he came to the conclusion after he studied the following and temple of Islam or nation of Islam on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's main work was the work of bringing African Americans into a new culture. A new culture. Another word for culture is dress, isn't it? Into a new culture, or into a new cultural dress. That was his conclusion. Now, let me come back to this. I spend a lot of time on dress. Because your dress has become so inflammable. You're on fire, most of you. Most of you I see in the streets, you're just burning all the time. It's just inflamed, engulfed in flames. Because you're wearing volatile clothing. Well, anyway, when you think of dress, how dress influences personality. How it influences ego. Ego. It can make a guy that had no enthusiasm, had no strength in him to stand up straight. He goes sad and droopy. Yeah, dull. You put him in a uniform, and you don't have to give him a gun or a weapon. Just put him in a uniform and put some medals up here on his chest and stuff. And that guy perk up. Oh, fellas, come on, fellas. When I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, there was a corner near us, a busy corner, and there was a guy who would be out there at a certain time every day. He had his own uniform. He even took some pop bottle caps. And he stuck them on his coat so they look like medals. And he'd be out there directing fella. Ha! Directing traffic, Bobby. Ha! Come on! Hey, hit up! He broke. He was somebody. Now, I'm ashamed to admit this, but it happened to me. It was a long time before I went to the movies. In the Temple of Islam, you couldn't go to the movies. You weren't supposed to go to the movies. You could be actually put out of the Temple of Islam if they found out you had gone to the movies. So this time I went to this movie. It was John Wayne, you know, Duke. Big Duke. I saw this John Wayne movie. You know, he had a special walk, didn't he? John Wayne had a special walk. He walked like he feared nothing, and nothing should mess with him. And he held his hand kind of like he was ready to draw at any time. Even though he was walking, one hand was swinging, wasn't getting too far away from the pistol. I watched that movie for about an hour and 15, a half, I guess, or more. I came out of there walking like Duke, walking like John Wayne. I'm moving like him. I'm in his spirit. He passed his spirit on to me. And I'm seeing myself in his clothes and his hat, all right, his boots with his gun. So there I am. I didn't take nothing about, I think it was about two or three steps like that. And it registered on my mind what that movie had done to me. And I said, let me get out of this. Dress can reach your soul inside of you and influence your soul to want to agree with the dress you're wearing. So now, can't you see the problem with the man thinking he's naked, and then letting the Satan, suggest that he clothes himself? Yes. Now, passions, strong appetite, love is a passion. Hate is a passion. Any appetite in extreme that affects the heart and causes the heart to register the appetite, you give your heart to it, it's a passion. Life is relationships. The first relationship is relationship you have with the opposite sex. And then from that relationship come children. And the children then have a relationship both with parents and with each other. And we are told that we came from one parent of a male and female, or one soul of a male and female, saying that soul-wise, or as for the nature of the soul, male and female are one. They have no difference. Soul life is the same for both males and females. The woman will cry if she's hurt. Some women won't cry when they're hurt. They're tough. They may be too tough to survive. And the same for men. Some men will cry. Some men won't cry. They're too tough. And I say the same, may be too tough to survive. So the nature of the soul has to be in male and female. Amen. If you lose your human emotionality, well, if you lose the ability to be hurt, yes, in your heart, well, you've lost your human wholeness.
That's it.
God made us like this so we will register the hurt of each other.
Yes.
So we will do something about what's hurting each other. Yes. Also, before leaving that, I must say that the growth of human life is seen in the connections you make,
yeah,
with your intelligence, but more importantly, with your heart. You give your heart to a relative or friend. You give your heart to a stranger. The heart does not reject any human being or human life that needs it. It can be a stranger. You can't even speak that stranger's language. But you see a stranger on the road suffering, suffering. He's fallen on the road and he's suffering. He's in pain. And you speak to him and you can't understand his words. He doesn't even speak your language. You're desperate to find some help for him. The heart is where we all should be. But we reject our own heart. A suggestion is made to the mind and we become selfish and directed selfishly. So we pass by the hurt of our family member, our hurting family member, we pass by the hurt of strangers. But God wants to awaken in us the true human spirit, the true human sensitivity. And that brings me to something else. God wants us to look at the world of nature and natural things that he created and let those things speak from their pictures to our intelligence and our hearts. Yes. Sensitivities. When you cry, hurt, water come down. Huh? A little water come down. Tears come down. Sometimes they come down not because you're hurting, but because you're so happy. You can't hold back the water of sweetness. Huh? And sweet water will come down. Water. And we are told that all life had its beginning in water. So water is the beginning of our innocence, beginning of our natural, beautiful sentiments, feelings as human beings. But now, if you go to extremes in the water and neglect to go to school and be educated, or neglect to rise in knowledge or education, you will have no way where to live except in your water.
Yes,
except in water. So you'll be like a fish.
Yeah.
With his head under water. And he can't bring his head out of the water. If he does, he'll die. Because his whole life has become that life of the water. And there are many of us like that in these churches and in these mosques and whatever, these places of worship for Muslims, Christians, and others. Many of us are like fish with our heads under water. We're afraid to take a chance on lifting our heads above the water. God didn't create us to be fish. All we have to do is lift our head above the water, and we'll find that we are not limited to water freedom. Our freedom is to come on land and get the benefits of living on land. But we have to have the courage to trust that I won't die if I lift my head above the water. Some of us are in water up to the ankles, some up to the knees, some up to the chest, some up to the neck. Some are submerged. Now, if you're going to be submerged, don't stay there. Your mission is on the land. If you're going to be submerged, then as soon as they duck you under for baptism, you got to come back up. And you know, we take full baths too. We don't call ourselves Baptists, but we take full baths too. Praise be to Allah. Thank God, that is. Praise God. Yes. So our relationship, we have to be very regardful of relationships. Relationships are connections. Male and female connects. And when they connect, now they can produce. If they don't connect, they can't produce. You can't reproduce yourself unless you connect with your mate. The two of you all connect, now you can reproduce. That's a sign. I said, whatever the nature, we should regard these things and see them as message givers. They're breathing out messages to us. Silently, that is. Silently sending off messages to our intelligence. So if you can't reproduce your life without having a female, a mate, and this has no intent to put down homosexuals or lesbians. As far as I'm concerned, you have all the freedom you want. Just don't bother me. Yes. Now, we want to reproduce. We want to reproduce the garden. God put us in a garden of paradise. And the picture of that garden called Eden in English, or in Christianity, or Bible language, Judaism too. In fact, Adnan is Eden for Arabs. Same word. It's not in the Quran as such. But the Arabs, you study their culture, you find that they have a term called Adnan. And it's Eden, means Eden. And it's the garden of paradise. It comes from an ancestor that they have in their myth, their stories of their creation or beginning. They have this parent, and they believe that their life goes back to that parent where life was good for human beings. So they do have kind of concept for Eden, the same as the people of the book, the Bible. Yes. So anyway, the soul always wants peace. It can't have peace if the mind is in trouble. It can't have peace if the body is in trouble with the environment. Life is threatened for one reason or another or by something. It can't have peace. It can't have peace if quality of life is going down. It wants quality life. It wants excellence. The drive and the human drive and the soul is for excellence. And if you, yeah, thank you. And if you don't, if you don't do your best, you won't be happy. No. You know you have did it, you won't be happy. It doesn't have to register on your mind. Your home environment. You're rushing to see somebody, or you're rushing to go shop, whatever it is. But you left the toilet in the room in a mess. You left the kitchen in a mess. You left the bedroom in a mess. Only thing that was looking halfway straight was the front room, because you don't want outsiders to know what goes on in the bedroom. And in the toilet, in the bathroom, and in the kitchen, you know. Yeah, so you go to work and, or go to your, see your friend or whatever, or go to shop, and you wonder how come you don't feel good. Well, any psychologist could tell you you're not feeling good because your soul won't accept what your mind imposed upon it. I don't think there's another people more unfulfilled in their souls than the African Americans of the United States of America. No matter how much encouragement we get to say, hey, we're doing fine. Colin Powell, great achievement for our common life, for our total life as a people. Great achievement for our life. Colin Powell, a man that white folks would support for the presidency of the United States, and I mean white folks in big numbers, would support, or will support, Colin Powell to be president of these United States. But then there's one that we're more closer to, Oprah. Look how successful that woman is. As a TV host, hosting her show. There's no white woman or anybody else that ever achieved what she has achieved as a TV host for her show, for any show. None of them have achieved it. She's the biggest thing in the history of such shows. Yes, she is. And she got plenty of money. Plenty of money. She gives gifts, big gifts of money to certain charities or certain causes that she feels she should support. Big money. But that is not enough to make us feel fulfilled in our soul. No. And why do you think we can't feel that achievement, feel that we have achieved? Because people are connected that belong to the same history. We belong to the same history. No other people have our exact history. No other people experience life as slaves. Life as second-class citizens, or as put-down citizens, put out of the benefits of the law and freedom that others had. Put out of that. No other people have had our history. Not that exact history. So we call each other soul brothers, and we don't even know what way we're coming from. If I'm your soul brother, that means we came from the same situation or circumstances for our soul as a human person. This world didn't just cheat my body. This world doing slavery cheated my soul. Because God didn't intend for man's soul to be born in slavery. God intended for the soul to be given to a world of freedom. Where he can compete on equal terms with others. And that was denied us. So we have a history that we share. And that history should be more important to us than the color of our skin. You know, if we really take that skin thing to its logical conclusion, if we mean that our blackness is really the blackness that we get from the sunshine, or the blackness that we got as a pigmentation of the skin from our parents, if that's what we think our blackness is, we can never go forward as a people with such idea. No, we can't. And it's worse for us. In fact, the only people who will be worse off calling themselves black and thinking the skin was really the important thing would be if the white people would suddenly wake up in the morning and all of them start calling themselves black. Now, we are not in that bad a shape, but I got a daughter that almost, her skin is as white as many people's skin, as many white people's skin, one of my daughters. And I got children whose skin is black enough to be called black, and you ain't telling no lie. But we never raised them in a way that would influence them to give more importance to the skin color. When they say only skin deep, that's your blackness is no more than skin deep. In fact, it's not even skin deep. Because I had a little friend with me, a friend of my son, his name is Raymond. He's not Spanish. He's us. His name is Raymond. Nice name. And my son was grabbing him, they were playing, and my son actually scratched him on his leg. So he showed me. He said, see when he scratched me? Look, see when he scratched me? Look. So I saw an opportunity to work on his psyche. I say, wow. I say, you are white. He's black. Really black skin. But when he got scratched, the scratch is white. I say, you really white. I say, that's a little black on the top, but just scratch a little bit, man, you white. I remember I was a boy, maybe about 14 or 15. And I heard black men talking about how tough they were. And they, back then they were using knives a lot. Now they use guns a lot. They were using knives a lot. Say, yeah, man, that nigga was up in my face screaming and hollering at me. Man, I reached it, popped out my blade. Man, I hit that nigga with my sharp blade, man, and you should have seen the white open up. Yeah, they used to talk like that, you know. The white of the flesh. If your knife is very sharp and you cut a black man real quick, his meat shows white beneath. Yeah, the white of the meat, it will show white until the blood rushes to it, and then the blood covers the white. So all of us are white beneath the skin. Beneath the fine thin layer of the skin, all of us are white. So what made some white and some black? The sun. The north, up there north, north Europe, some, especially near the poles, they get very little sunshine. Very little sunshine. They call the sun of the day the midnight sun. Call it midnight sun because it's dark. It'd be dark in the daytime. And they're just getting a little bit of light of the sun. So if you stay for generations and generations, for thousands of years in that kind of climate, I guarantee you the blackest man, yes, blackest man you know, will eventually, not in one generation, but eventually over a long period of time, he would lose his blackness because your color comes from the sun. And if you don't have exposure to it, you won't get dark-skinned. But it takes thousands of years, or maybe millions, to change color from one extreme to another. This is no more than science. This is just general science that I'm sharing with you. Yes. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in one of his lectures that he gave, he said, and we get our color from the sun. This is in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's language. It's there. It's still there. In other words, we can prove this. We can get that speech or get the newspaper clipping article, whatever. We can show you where he said that. We get our color from the sun. So we shouldn't put all of this importance on the sun. I mean, on color, pardon me. On skin color. Don't put all that importance on skin color. I must admit that certainly skin color also is part of God's creation. And it sends a message too, from the object that God created to our intelligence. So what message should we get from our black skin? In Christian or in Western culture, I shouldn't say Christian, because Christian has to go back to the Bible and Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus in the Bible does not uphold these falsehoods. Right. Right. I'm a student of the Bible also. Very good one. Yes, sir. Yes. I'm telling you, if you want to challenge me, I welcome you to challenge me. Because I'm a very good student of the Bible, as well as of our holy book, the Quran. Yes. So anyway, you couldn't support this if you went to the Gospel of Jesus or the New Testament or Jesus Christ himself, his life. You couldn't support this idea. Couldn't support this kind of idea. In fact, you'd find just the reverse. You won't find a put down of black. You'll find a lifting up of black. Raising it up as excellence. But somehow it comes into Christian culture, comes into culture of Western people, the European people and American people, that black also is degraded. Black is degraded. One time I was in the presence of, got to watch the time here, I was in the presence of a white man. And he was talking to us, but through something else. And he said, suddenly it's dark in here. Well, we knew where we were. We knew he didn't see many of us, not that often. And he couldn't let it be. He asked the woman that was with him. He said, "What was the color of the dress you picked? Was it black? Black?" He didn't say, "Was it black? Was it black?" So I said, "This life is really strange." I said, "You love black dogs. You love black automobiles. You love black caviar when you go to a high class restaurant." I said, "It's very strange." They became very silent, and I could see hurt on their faces. That's all I said. I didn't say any more to them. So somebody been tricking us, haven't they? I can't stand black. A friend of mine who was a Pakistani, he said, once I went to a restaurant in the South, he said, and I guess they thought I was colored, they told me I couldn't eat in that restaurant. He said, I can see your cooks back there, behind there. He said, and they're cooking your food. He said, I'm sure they're putting their black hands in your food. He said, why you accept to have black people cook your food and put their black hands in your food? But you can't serve me some food at your counter. And he said he walked out. He just left. So the world is not what it appears to be. Truth is not easy to identify in this world. This world is a world of deception, as is given in Scripture. It is a world of deception. It is a world designed by those class, a separate group. So that your psychology will be sickened, poisoned and sickened by their language. And your soul will be brought down and weakened. And you will think that you just don't have the nature. You're not made like them. So you can't succeed. You will buy consciously or subconsciously, unconsciously, you will buy the game. Yes. And live in accord with the game. Yes. Put yourself down. This is the time when you have to stand up on your own feet, respect your own life, and thank yourself, thank you very much, and thank yourself equal in creation with everybody and anybody. God did not create inferiors and superiors. God created babies with all they need to become the president of the United States, the banker, the scientist in the lab, the politician, whatever. He gave them everything, the soldier on the battlefield. He put everything in every baby, everything. And the circumstances that child is put in is like the suitable ground for the life of any plant or any seed of any plant. If you put it on stone, it can't have a chance. It can't grow in stone, not meant to grow in stone. If you put it in the desert, it has no chance unless you turn the desert into an oasis, bring water there, it has no chance to live. But if you put it in a good environment, you're going to see it grow and reach its potential, reach its maturity that God created it for. It'll become whole. Maybe his appetite will not be for the military, but that potential will be shown in something else. And it will achieve in something else as high as any person can achieve. There's no born inequality. There's only born equality. That's why God says, Khalaqa fasawwa. Khalaqa fasawwa. God says he created and then established equality. So God is saying that in terms of your original creation, all human beings are equal. All human beings are equal. Look how females, we thought females couldn't do certain things that males do, right? Now females, they got muscles like you and everything. They'll knock you out if you get out of line. I mean knock you out. Not stun you, knock you out. They're driving trucks, big trucks. The bigger they come, the more the female likes it. Why? Because she's been held back from her...